Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
My name is JD and part of the team here at City Life, and excited to kick off our new series, Jesus Freaks. Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be really good. We just finished a series on legacy, the importance of continuing God's good work in our world and our lives by passing it on to the next generation. And I really think one of the greatest things people pass on is stories. And who doesn't love a good story, right? We love stories. And I got a book here. This is a book, I read this to my 12-year-old at bedtime. It is Jesus Freaks. This is volume 2. If anyone has my volume 1, by the way, I don't know who I lent it to. Please let me know, I want it back. But this is an incredible story of Jesus Freaks throughout the ages, and it's really powerful. And we're going to be highlighting different ones over this series. But I'm going to start by reading a story for us today, and then we're going to jump into things, all right? Who likes stories? Stories are good. This is a true story, documented story. A group of Christians were arrested and brought before the prefect of their province, a man by the name of Rusticus. As they stood before the judgment seat, Rusticus called Justin forward among the others and spoke directly to him. "Above all things, you must have faith in the gods and obey the emperors." "We have done nothing wrong," Justin replied. "We cannot be accused or condemned for obeying the commands of our Savior, Jesus Christ." Rusticus looked at him, puzzled. "What system of philosophy do you say is true?" Justin answered, "I have tried to learn about every system, but I have accepted the true teachings of the Christians, though they are rejected by those who would prefer to love a lie." "So you would tell me that these teachings are the truth then, even though you stand here a criminal?" "Yes," Justin replied, "because I follow them with their correct teaching." Rusticus sat forward in his chair. "What sort of teaching is that?" "Worship the one true God, the God of the Christians. He has been the only God since he made the earth and all of creation, both the things that are seen and those that are unseen. And we worship Jesus, his Son, as Lord and Savior." "You are a Christian then?" "Yes," Justin replied, "I am a Christian." Rusticus paused to think for a moment. "You call yourself a wise and studied man," he said while looking over those who stood with him, then to the galleries of those who had come to witness this trial, then fixed his eyes again upon Justin. "You say you have insight into what is truth. If so, answer me this. If I have you flogged and executed, do you believe you will go to heaven?" "I believe that if I bear these things, I shall have what Jesus promised me," Justin replied. "I know that his divine gift of salvation will stay with all who hold to his name until the end of the world." "I take it then you think you will go to heaven and receive some appropriate reward there." "I do not know it, or I do not suppose it. I know it. I am certain of it." Rusticus sighed in exasperation. "Then there is only one thing left, and your life rides on it. You must come forward and sacrifice to the Roman gods." Justin did not move, nor did he delay in his response. No one in his right mind would turn his back on this relationship with the one true God by showing even the slightest respect for these godless statues. Rusticus' temper flared, and his voice carried every ounce of threat he could muster. "You have no choice. You either obey, or I will have you punished and executed without mercy." "You speak of punishment and death as if it is to be feared, but the truth of the matter is, it is our salvation," Justin responded. "When I go before the judgment seat of Christ, as the whole world will have to do, even you, this will be my confidence that I may enter into heaven, that I did not deny Jesus, even unto death." At this, those who stood with Justin stepped forward and said, "You can do whatever you want to us. We are Christians, and Christians do not sacrifice to idols." Rusticus stood as if to attack them himself, but then steadied himself and placed his hands on his sides. "Then it is decided. Your own testimony condemns you." He turned to the guards that surrounded them. "All of these here who have defied the command of the emperor by refusing to sacrifice to our gods shall be scourged with whips and beheaded according to the law." This is a true account of from 165 AD in Rome of an early Christian teacher and philosopher whose name was Justin Martyr. No, they didn't name martyrs after him. He actually was given that last name after his death. But he was a Jesus freak. He was a martyr. Now, you might be asking, what is a martyr? Well, a martyr is someone who faces targeted hostility towards them simply because they confess Jesus Christ. Christians face persecution. I'll share some sobering facts in a minute, but you should know this wasn't a surprise to any Christ follower through the centuries, because Jesus addressed this from the very start. Jesus didn't just warn the disciples, hey, they might face persecution. He actually promised them they would face persecution. Imagine sitting with Jesus at a table, and he's like, hey, just so you know, everyone will hate you because of me. But remember, the one who stays on the narrow path until the end will be saved. What? Everyone will hate you because of me. Oh, okay, good to know. But remember, the one who stays with me on the narrow path until the end will be saved. It's going to be hard, but it's going to be worth it. Choosing to follow Jesus puts a target on your back, but Jesus freaks, that doesn't stop them. And the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is something that is so powerful, so transformative, so life-changing that people have been willing to die to defend it for 2,000 years. I'm going to give you some examples. First recorded martyr, Stephen, in the book of Acts, violently stoned to death, even as he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Since that first recorded incident, Christians have been targeted for their faith by governments, extremist organizations, terrorists, and empires. The Roman Empire targeted Christians for not sacrificing to their false gods and punished them by being thrown to lions, burned on torches in front of Colosseum crowds. The Muslim conquest in the 7th century sought not only to kill Christians, but also control and silence the church. Throughout our history, the body of Christ, which is the church, has been persecuted. But you may be surprised to know, there is actually more persecution happening right now, 2024, than at any other time in church history. Currently, one-third, and these are all facts, I mean, I've gathered all these. One-third of the world faces some kind of religious oppression, and of that one-third, 80% are Christians. So yes, other religions are as well, but 80% of those being persecuted right now are Christians. And even though we're in a time where the world is supposedly progressing and becoming more tolerant, the reality is the world is actually becoming less tolerant of Christians and seeking to silence the Christian voice more than any other time. In fact, in the last 3 years, they've seen a 35% increase in the persecution of the global Christian church. In China, there's an estimated 90 million Christians, most of whom meet underground so that they can't be controlled by the government. North Korea, it's illegal to say you believe in Jesus. They will arrest not just you, but your family and possibly execute you. In India, there are governments, the government works against the churches. My father-in-law runs an organization called Home of Hope and helping orphans and the poor. And you'd be amazed at just what the government throws into trying to stop them and make it harder for this church to open and do this. And maybe you've heard or seen the picture, it was in the intro, the beheading of 21 Egyptian Christians by ISIS in 2015 on the shores of Libya. And in Nigeria, this is shocking, in 2023, last year, more than 8,000 Christians were murdered. Wow. This is happening now. This is real. Now I know, for a happy summer Sunday morning, this might seem a bit overwhelming. And I agree. And part of us wants to just plug our ears, la 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 la, or more likely, pull out our phone and cat video. Can I just watch that instead? This is a bit too much, JD. Can I just watch cat videos or whatever? I get it. But knowing this stuff actually matters. And if it weighs heavy on your heart, and I think it should to some degree, whether you know of these stats or not, or have thought of it, pray. Pray for your brothers and sisters, because they are your brothers and sisters that are suffering around the world. Pray for persecuted Christians, for their comfort, their protection, for confidence as they proclaim the gospel, and that their persecutors will receive justice, or even better yet, find Christ, which I won't share here, but I read an example of an ISIS member who actually got saved because a church had been praying for him and now attends that church. So it can happen. Be proud that even today, Jesus freaks across the world are resisting the enemy. They are staying strong in their faith, even if it means death. Back to the story of the 21 Christians killed by ISIS. I got a picture. Maybe you've seen this, but it was supposed to be 20. There should have been 20 that were sentenced to death, but here's what happened. 20 young Egyptian Christians were kidnapped by ISIS, tortured in an attempt to force them to abandon their faith, to recant, and to convert to save their life. And through all the torture, all 20 of them remained faithful, refused to renounce their faith, praying the whole time, Now, in this prison, while this is happening, there's another prisoner, a Muslim prisoner, who is watching all this happen, watching their testimony, watching their belief, and is so moved by it, convicted by it, he actually becomes a Christian. Knowing that means he's going with them. But he could not deny what he saw and what he experienced. And so instead of 20 being marched out to that beach, 21 were marched out to that beach and beheaded. He went knowing because he could not deny the truth of Jesus. So 21 Christians gave their lives and became martyrs because just as Justin Martyr said in the story I read, you speak of punishment and death as if it is to be feared. But the truth of the matter is, it is our salvation. When I go before the judgment seat of Christ, as the whole world will have to do, this will be my confidence that I may enter into heaven, that I did not deny Jesus, even unto death. The paradox of persecution is that you can lose so much because of Jesus, but gain so much more because of Jesus. Now, I can't think of a better Jesus freak for us to learn from than Paul in the Bible when it comes to the persecution and suffering. Paul, a founding father of the church, wrote most of the New Testament, faced prison, beatings, mockery, you name it, he went through it in the name of the gospel. Because he was serious about following Jesus and living boldly out of that power that comes from Christ. And Paul shares in this scripture I'm going to read that no matter what we face, big or small, we show that the treasure of Christ is in us when we persevere through these things. 2 Corinthians 4. But this beautiful treasure is contained in us. We're cracked pots made of earth and clay, so that the transcendent character of this power will be clearly seen as coming from God and not from us. We are cracked and chipped from our afflictions on all sides. I'm sure we all have some cracks and chips. But we're not crushed by them. We are bewildered at times. Oh, I don't know what to make of that thing I saw in there or whatever. I don't know what to believe about this. We may be bewildered at times, but we do not give in to despair. We are persecuted, but we have not been abandoned. We have been knocked down, but we are not destroyed. You see, the short-lived pains of this life are creating for us an eternal glory that does not compare to anything we know here. He's not just making up words. Hey, you should believe this. This might be a good idea. He's living this out and he's saying, guys, I know this is worth it. So what about us? What about us here today? What short-lived pains of this life do we face? Well, mockery, insults, being canceled online or in person, those things hurt for sure. But I think a question to ask is, does a North American church, do North American Christians face persecution? And I would say, not really. Yes, there are examples, but for the most part, I would say we face intimidation. I wouldn't say we face persecution, but I would say we face intimidation. You know, the Christian teacher who gets penalized for sharing her faith, the football coach who prayed with their team before the game and got immediately fired after, the peer pressure that comes from our friends, the families that have falling outs because you just, it doesn't line up. And yes, I love you, but this is what I believe, and it comes into conflict. I hate that those things happen, but if I can be honest, I'm also kind of glad, because pressure reveals what's really beneath the surface for all of us, and I honestly want to know. I ask myself this question, not often, but I think about it, and it's like, what would, if someone put a gun to my head, would I deny Christ, or would I gladly, in that, like, would I actually have a peace in that moment? It's like, never would I say no to Jesus. He is worth everything. The song we used in the series intro, Jesus Freak, comes from my favorite 90s Christian band of all time, DC Talk. I love some DC Talk. They are awesome, no matter what my teenage daughter tells me. They're awesome. They are not cringe, okay? Now, the chorus of the song challenges us, especially as self-conscious Western Christians. What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do when they find that it's true? I don't really care if they label me a Jesus freak. There ain't no disguising the truth. Now, we must choose a boldness and confidence even when things are hard. God's church, the body of Christ, has always been persecuted, and it always will be. Yay! I know that sounds like bad news, but hear me out. Here's the good news. 2,000 years later, oh, we're still here. God has empowered his church around the world, 2,000 years, being beaten down, whatever, shunned, whatever it was, and yet the church just keeps going. Clearly, that says something about the people that follow Christ, but it says more about a God who empowers us and gives us the strength to keep going and proves that it's worth it. Not just empty, like, hey, follow me, it'll be worth it in the end. Like, it's true, and he proves it. There's something beautiful that happens when Christians are persecuted. Romans 5. Paul, again, a lot of this comes from Paul writing to different churches. He knew persecution, so he talked about it a lot. We also celebrate in seasons of suffering. Say seasons of suffering. Seasons of suffering, we go through them, because we know that when we suffer, we develop endurance, which shapes our character. Okay, I don't like seasons of suffering, but I can celebrate in them. And when our characters are refined, we learn what it means to hope and anticipate God's goodness. So going through suffering, which is a promised thing Jesus says we'll do, actually means, hey, when you go through that, instead of pouting or victimizing yourself or whatever, it's like, no, this sucks, absolutely. But man, I'm going to celebrate because God, what are you going to do in me? What are you going to change in me? What are you growing in me? And how will you use it for this world? Seasons of suffering make us better. They really do. Maybe you've heard the famous quote, it's only under extreme pressure that greatest diamonds are formed, right? Well, when it comes to pressure, Paul, who knew suffering, had something he wanted to say to you, followers of Christ, and he was writing this in Philippians from prison. Okay, so he's not sitting in some mansion somewhere, whatever. He is writing from prison, but is not miserable or defeated. He is celebrating. Earlier in the chapter, he's like, guys, guess what? Like, there's my example of just following Jesus. It's empowering others, those that know about me here, and people even in the prison. So he's actually kind of jacked up right now. And he says in Philippians, he says, so here's what I want you to do. Oh, okay, good to know. Yeah, what do we do? Conduct yourselves as true and worthy citizens of the anointed's gospel. So that, whether I make it to you or don't see you, I will at least hear that you continue to stand united in one spirit, single-minded in purpose, as you struggle together. That's fun. As you struggle together for the faith of the gospel. Don't be paralyzed in any way by what your opponents are doing, your world, everything against you. Don't be paralyzed by that. Your steadfast faith in the face of opposition is a sign that they are doomed and that you have been graced with God's salvation. I love that. It's like your faith plugging through, no matter what's coming at you, you're going through. That's actually a sign that they got nothing in the end. It's not going to last. You have been given the privilege of not only believing in Jesus, the anointed, our liberating king, but the privilege of being chosen to suffer for him as well. Thanks. But I think by the end of this message, this series, I think you're going to have you actually will say thank you. Thank you, God. You would choose me. You think I could be strong enough to do this. You think that I could bear your name. Wow, what a privilege. You, O Christ follower, are true citizens of the gospel. The good news of Jesus is your home. And so, church, we got to stay united. If you're going to struggle, struggle together. There's intimidating worldviews out there. Don't let them paralyze you. What do I do? This is getting overwhelming. The fact that you're still going when they're yelling in your face is a sign God's the one that's going to come out on top. You're on the winning side. And so remember the privilege of believing in Jesus, but also the privilege of being chosen to suffer for him. You could just imagine Jesus saying, you want to follow me? I am so glad. But you know what? It's going to be hard. And that's a good thing because the best things in life are worth fighting for. So watch what I do in you and through you. Thank you, Jesus. That's what makes Jesus freaks. So we can learn from the martyrs and have bold faith and courageous witness and selfless sacrifice. Now, should we want to be martyred? I hope not. Please don't go around and be like, what can I say today that will get me lit on fire? Or, oh, it's a beautiful day for a beheading. No, like, and I don't mean lightly of that, but that should not be our desire. But I do believe, as we live our day-to-day lives, as you go to work tomorrow, or do whatever you're going to do with your kids this summer, or whatever's going on, or the fun you're going to have, I think we do need to remember, and we should desire, what I call a martyr mindset, okay? A martyr mindset, and I think this is what it would be. I believe in and will follow Jesus above all else, no matter the cost. That's what we should desire. I don't want to have to die, but I do want to have the mindset that says, I believe in and will follow Jesus above all else, no matter the cost. This is what the martyrs believed. Man, they believed the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And then when they were faced with things that came against them that didn't line up with that, they weren't like spitting at people and, oh, I hate you. No, it's just like, well, I'm choosing this. I believe this is ultimate love, and I'm doing this thing, and it's coming against me. Well, I'm sorry. But they had to choose in that moment. What do I actually believe? Do I know that what I believe is true? Like, am I actually willing to stand on this? And every one of them had that martyr mindset. I believe in and will follow Jesus above all else, no matter the cost. And it starts in our minds. So I want to take just a minute and talk about our mind. Your mind is a control center of attitudes, thoughts, feelings, and actions. And transformation starts in our minds. Paul knew this, talks about this in Romans. He says, Romans 12, do not allow this world. He's given a command right off the bat. Okay, guys, after everything I've just explained in the previous chapters, here's what you gotta do. Do not allow this world to mold you in its image. Instead, be transformed from the inside out by renewing your mind. As a result, you will be able to discern what God wills and whatever God finds good, pleasing, and complete. Do not allow the world to mold you. He's given a command. Guys, this is essential. You can't follow Jesus while also following godless worldviews. I believe in Jesus, but I'm also doing or saying or believing this thing that absolutely goes against what Jesus would say. That you can't do both. Like, you can't juggle both. Eventually, like, you got to pick. And so that's part of the tension we face. So we have to be transformed. The only way to replace the error of destructive worldviews is we got to replace it with God's truth. God, I don't know what to say, so I'm going to get into your word. You must be transformed, which means to go through a metamorphosis by renewing your mind. And there are no shortcuts. There's no magical formula for renewing our minds. It's simply filling our minds with God's word so that we can learn to embrace the martyr mindset I believe in and will follow Jesus above all else, no matter the cost. So, as we make this practical, let's be honest for a minute. In Canada here, we actually have it pretty good. Especially after hearing all those stats. We've got it pretty good. You look at what the early church went through, what the global church today is going through, we really don't have a ton to complain about. Now, I will say, of course, our problems are real. The things we face are real. They are overwhelming. Some of you are walking in here today and it's all you can think about is the thing you're facing and it feels so overwhelming, and I don't discount that. But I think we can humbly acknowledge that we're not really being persecuted here in Canada, and we probably don't need to play a victim card, right? Jesus never played the victim card. He didn't whine about how others treated him. He stood his ground, he showed love, and even forgave his murderers because they know not what they do. They don't even understand what they're really doing. What I'm mad at is the principalities of darkness that have twisted them and confused them. I don't hate people, but I hate the things that corrupt people, that bring this stuff about. But not woe is me. And if we can acknowledge we have it pretty good, but that we are actually designed to handle suffering, we won't tell ourselves, I can't, it's too hard. Yes, you can. You can do hard things. You can do hard things. Yeah. The tagline of the series is, we can do hard things. And that's been a personal motto of mine lately. I've just been trying to convince myself in so many areas, whether it's health or work stuff or different things. It's like, I can do hard things. I like tell myself that. I just have to, it's like got to be my mantra right now. I can do hard things. In fact, why don't you say it? Say, I can do hard things. You just need to tell yourself that sometimes. I can do hard things. I can be the first to apologize when there's a huge divide between family members. I can have integrity at work when everyone else is finding loopholes. I can love my spouse when I don't really feel it. I can value my virginity when everyone around me is hooking up. I can choose to intentionally avoid pornography, even though the world says it's fine and it doesn't hurt you, which it does, and I will not do that. I can discipline myself to work out because a clear head and a strong heart will take me far in life. I can discipline my devotional life and make sure I spend time with God every day because I actually do have the time. Yeah. Everyone say, I can do hard things. So today, what is your specific call to action? I don't know, beats me. I don't know, you have to figure that out. In fact, if you look at it, none of the martyrs that you could read about in this book or that you could hear about, none of them did the things they did because some preacher told them to go do this. Okay? They simply were living their lives for Jesus in whatever sphere or whatever area that was. And they just responded out of love and devotion to Jesus, which rubbed some people the wrong way, or whatever the friction caused. They weren't trying to create it. They were simply just, this is the right thing. Or maybe to some degree create some friction just because, like, hey, I don't think this is right. Can we talk about this? Or whatever it is. Standing up for things. But they did what their situation required of them. And I think that's what you need to ask yourself. What does my situation require of me? In whatever that's going to look like this week, what does my situation require of me? Are you willing to do the hard things? And here's the litmus test. This is a tough one. Ask yourself this. If sticking to my beliefs about Jesus, his church, and his word meant losing a relationship with someone I love, like a sibling, a parent, a child, a best friend, or a boss, could I do it? If sticking to what I believe meant losing something like a relationship or whatever, you fill in the blank, could I actually do it? Some will answer yes in your gut right away, while also acknowledging the fear and sadness. I would hate for that to happen. Man, I would hate to lose that relationship. I know what that feels like. I would hate to lose that relationship with a friend or a family member or whatever. But I think I would do it because I believe in Jesus so much that it's the right thing and I have to do what I know is right. And I don't think any of the Christian martyrs in history weren't scared to do what they wanted. They weren't looking for it. They just trusted Jesus more than they feared the world's repercussions. I think that's really what it came down to. Now, some of you might say no right away. I don't know if I would, actually. I don't know if I could do that. And I just want to let you to linger with that because I think you got to ask, like, why? Why couldn't you give up that relationship or that job or that platform if Jesus asked you to or if the situation required it in order to keep following? They're tough decisions. We're called to lay down our lives to follow him. I think of my brother-in-law, Chandler. When he first got saved, came to church and was just like, boom, all in with Jesus, really getting connected. And in fact, I remember that we were down in Red Deer for a rally, and like he just had like a God moment. And he was just new to church, maybe his third time or something like that. And he comes back. First thing he does, he goes home that night, breaks up with his girlfriend that he's living with, and he's just like, I'm changing everything in my life. I know this isn't what God wants for me right now. Like, I am following Jesus. And he made a hard choice right away. And we don't know what your choices might have to be. But in that moment, he was just like, I'm choosing Jesus above all else. And I think this is the thing that needs to change. And there's always going to be those things in our lives. That's what martyr mentality brings us. Following Jesus will be the greatest decision you'll ever make, but it will cost you. And it might cost you friends, family, comfort, your job, your reputation. I don't know. Can you do it? Again, it's not that we want those things to happen, but I would love to have that attitude that says, if it happened, I think I could do it. I think I would choose Jesus above all else. In fact, I know that you're probably thinking about this. You're bringing all those questions, you know, thinking about this stuff, it brings questions and concerns and worries. You want to follow Jesus, but what ifs? The what ifs are so loud in your face. Like, could I actually do it for the long haul? Like, what if I stumble? What if I fall? What if I lose my step and I make fools of us all? Will the love continue when my walk becomes a crawl? What if I stumble? What if I fall? Another great DC Talk song, by the way. DC Talk. I'm not going to sing it. You can go listen to it after. It's a great song. We've got a lot of what-if scenarios bouncing around in our heads. And Peter, one of the original followers of Jesus, one of the original 12, who messed up lots, got it wrong a lot of times, but followed faithfully to the end, and yes, was martyred, he said this in 1 Peter 5. What do we do? So bow down under God's strong hand. Then when the time comes, God will lift you up. Like, just imagine he was standing here, someone who's already been persecuted. I don't know where he was at or what he'd already gone through by this time when he wrote these words to people like you. But he's saying, just bow down under God's strong hand. When the time comes, God will lift you up. Since God cares for you, let him carry all your burdens and worries. Oh, we got a lot of burdens and worries. Most importantly, here's what you do. Be disciplined. Stay on guard. Your enemy, the devil, is prowling around like outside, like a roaring lion, just waiting and hoping for the chance to devour someone. Resist him and be strong in your faith, knowing that your brothers and sisters throughout the world are fellow sufferers with you. You have fellow sufferers. Did you know that? You're a fellow sufferer. The people in Iran, Afghanistan, which, by the way, two very persecuted places who right now statistically are the fastest growing Christian populations in the world. Some of the most persecuted places in the world have the fastest growth. They're not dying off. They're not giving up. They're actually growing in persecution. After you've suffered for a little while, because we will, the grace of God who has called you to his everlasting presence through Jesus the Anointed, what will he do? He will restore you. He'll support you. He'll strengthen you and he'll ground you. Guys, you got this. We've got this. Because God's got us. He's walking us through this. If you're a follower of Jesus, you've got everything you need for the journey, no matter how it pans out. You've got this. We can let God carry all our burdens and worries and be disciplined and stay on guard. You can resist the tactics of the devil. You can be strong. You can stay strong in your faith. You can be fellow sufferers, and you can do hard things. Why don't you say one more time, I can do hard things. I can be okay with the fact that I will suffer as a Christian. But I actually can be at peace with that. I'm not mad at God because he didn't save me from every single problem in my life. No. He actually empowered me to walk through those things and use it to grow me and help others and see the church grow and see incredible things happen. So if you're here today and you're just considering Jesus, look, I can't promise it'll be easy. In fact, that's definitely, we've changed our motto on that. We cannot make it easy for you to say yes to Jesus. It's not easy to say yes to Jesus. We might create an environment that makes it easy to come into a place where you can experience God, but following Jesus isn't easy. But I can promise you a full life that you would never regret, that you'll look back on and be like, I couldn't have got through it without him. Wow, what he did. And it almost amplified because I followed him, but what he did in those bigger things is even more amazing than living a small life that I could have on my own. Jesus is the only one that can restore you, support you, strengthen you, and ground you. And I invite you to choose that martyr mindset that I believe in and will follow Jesus above all else, no matter the cost. In fact, can we just say that together? I believe in and will follow Jesus above all else, no matter the cost. Sometimes that'll be something you deeply believe in the moment. Other times it'll be a faith statement. I don't know, but I want it to be true. And as we wrap up today, I want to lead us in two short prayers and in a short time of reflection. I just feel like this is a great way to kind of take all this home. And the first is a prayer of salvation. And really, it's just, man, you can't do this. What have people done for 2,000 years, given their life for Christ? Well, it started by them saying yes to a life with Christ. And so it starts by saying, Jesus, I want you to be the leader of my life. In fact, why don't we all just stand up? And we're going to end with this. And I would love if you're here this morning. This is a big, you know, this series is going to be tough but awesome. And it's big, but I don't get up here and I'm nervous. It's like, oh, are people going to leave? Because it's like, no, like I think the word of God speaks so strong. It will empower people to say, you know what? Thank you for at least being honest. I don't need some watered down simple version. That's what I want. I want a life that I would be willing to die for. If that's you, can we just close our eyes? I want to invite you. I want to pray. And I want to invite all of us to pray together because we do all pray together. But especially if you're saying, like, I want to be all in with Jesus, I want to give my life to follow him, then I just want to invite you to pray with me and say, Jesus, I believe in you. I choose to follow you above all else. I lay it all at your feet. You are more important. Forgive me of my sins. I'm here. I'm yours. I want to be all in. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's the first one. It's a good first prayer, and we do celebrate. We celebrate Because when someone gives their life to Christ, man, it says there is a party that happens in heaven. When that person takes that first step, it's just the first step. You're not done. It's the beginning of something amazing and worthwhile. Second prayer I think is really important is a prayer of consecration. Now, to consecrate something simply means to give it to God, to present it to Him to be especially His. And when we consecrate something to Jesus, it actually allows those things to come under His protection and provision. Well, we talked about our minds today. And it starts with a martyr mindset and choosing that and having the right kind of mindset. So our minds and our mental life is an area that we actually can surrender to His leadership. And so I want to invite you, if you had said yes to Jesus, maybe right now in that prayer, or you've been following Him for years, there's something powerful about really just like laying this under the protection and provision. And so, again, I just want to invite you, why don't you repeat after me and say, Lord, I consecrate my mind to You. All of my mental life, I give You my thoughts, my focus, my attention. I give You my memory, my understanding, and imagination. I consecrate to You my interpretation of events in my life. I dedicate the life of my mind to You, Lord, and to You alone. Thank You, Jesus. Our minds are a crazy thing sometimes, so it's good to have it under the Lordship of Jesus. And finally, this is how I want to end. Just a brief moment of, I just want to give us a chance to reflect for a minute, because here's a verse, and I want you to hear this. Psalm 139 is a tough verse to pray, but wow, is it powerful. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting. Now we might think, oh yeah, I'm good. I prayed a prayer, I'm good, I'm following. Yeah, but like, have you allowed God to do a little bit of a search? Ever? Or maybe even just recently? And just let Him search us to know our hearts. He might just reveal some anxious thoughts that you're like, all right, I didn't want to think about that. I've been pushing that down. But I have some anxious thoughts. Or if I'm really honest, I have some offensive ways in me. Ah, yeah, you know what? I know this doesn't line up with You, God. And it's tough to let You shine a light on this, but I'm willing to let You. Here's what I want to do as we wrap up. Why don't you just close your eyes one more time? I just invite all of us to do this. I think this is good wherever we're at in life. If you recognize any, as we just take a moment to just sit in this and allow God to come in and say, God, just search me. And just let Him show anything, any anxious thoughts or offensive ways. You know what you do? You just hand them over to Jesus. Take captive every thought, make it obedient to Christ. Just hand it over so He can deal with them. I just want to pause for a couple seconds and just allow us to do the tough things. Hey, you can do hard things, so let's do the hard thing. And God, just speak to us right now. Search our hearts. Know our minds. The thing you've been thinking about all morning, or it's maybe just something right now that God just brought up because you actually paused to let Him speak. Take that thing. You can't fix it on your own. We're not strong enough, but God is. Give Him that offensive way. Give Him that anxious thought. He's the one who'll walk you through it. We give these things to You, Jesus. Lord, I just pray as we end, I just pray over every person here, every person watching online, God, would You do a beautiful work in our lives. It starts with our minds, God. We just believe that You can transform our minds. Renew us, Lord. Make us new. Let us follow You in a fresh new way with a clear mind and a deep heart for You. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.